Hello, and welcome to episode 223 of Dark and Stormy Book Club. Today we talk with Molly McCrae. Enjoy!
I'm Ann Dark.
I'm Tracy Stormy.
And I'm Kathy Knight.
And together we are...
It Was a Dark and Stormy Book Club.
A podcast for mystery lovers.
Welcome!
If you enjoy our show, please consider contributing to the Dark and Stormy Patreon. By becoming a patron, you will help us create better and quality content. There are also benefits to becoming a patron, such as exclusive content and Dark and Stormy merchandise. Become a supporter at patreon.com/darkandstormybc. Check our website for the link. We appreciate any and all contributions. Thank you.
Argyles and Arsenic is put out by Pegasus Crime. It was published March of 2022. After 93 well-lived years, Violet McCaskill is ready to simplify her life. Her eccentric solution? She'll throw a decanting and decluttering party at her family home, a Scottish baronial manor near the seaside town of Inversgale, Scotland. Violet sets aside everything she wants or needs. Then she invites her many friends to sip sherry and help themselves to whatever they want from what's left over. Janet Marsh and Christine Robertson, two of the women who own Jan Bonnie Books in Inversgale, enjoy themselves at the party. Not everyone who attends has a good time, though. Wendy Erskine, director of the Inversgale Museum, is found dead, and rumors swirl about food poisoning from a local food truck. Then Violet tells Constable Hobbs that a tin of rat poison is missing. When Hobbs' own grandmother comes under suspicion for murder, he enlists the women from Jan Bonnie Books, and the race is on to find the murderer. But where do they begin? Are there clues in the shocking stockings exhibit in the museum? Will the antique scrapbook, pasted full of trivia about arsenic and bygone poisoners, offer a solution? Or does the answer lie closer to home? Is one of Violet's friends truly toxic? Poisonous games are afoot in Inversgale, and the women of Jan Bonnie Books are playing to win. We would like to welcome to the program Molly McCrae. She has a wonderful book out called Argyles and Arsenic. Welcome, Molly.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I love the name of your book club. It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, we kind of like it too.
This is number 5 in your Highland Bookshop mystery series.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it.
The series is my way of getting back to Scotland more often than I do in real life. I lived there for a year when I was a student at Edinburgh University, and I've been back since, but not nearly often enough. It started as kind of a flight of fancy and a joke on Facebook, because I had seen an ad for a bookstore in Scotland, a thriving bookstore in a tourist community, furthest north bookstore in Scotland, and it was for sale. I thought, whoa, what a great opportunity. I've run a bookstore. I'd like to run another bookstore. Why not in Scotland? It's the Highlands. It's Scotland. What could possibly go wrong? So I posted that on Facebook, and I said, who wants to join me? And a number of people said, oh, I'll come along. I'll run a cafe. One said, oh, I'll do your website. and, oh, I'll do this. And we decided, well, that would be a lot of fun. So we just played around with that. It was such a neat idea. I thought it needs to be a book. So I turned it into a series of mysteries.
Great. Ah. Well, you have Janet and Tally, and they run the bookstore, and they're mother and daughter, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And then you have Christine and Summer, and they run the restaurant or tea room.
Mm-hmm. And they are not mother and daughter, although people often mistake them for mother and daughter. But Christine is Janet's friend, and Summer was Tally's friend.
And then they solve mysteries in between working at the bookstore and serving tea.
Right. And luckily there are four of them. And plus they've got Rab McGregor who drops by at opportune moments. So they are able to get away from the bookstore and tea room from time to time to do their sleuthing.
Mm.
Now, is the town fictional or is it an actual town?
No, it's fictional. I did get an email from someone, though, who was really sad because she'd gone to Scotland and really wanted to stop in Inversgale. And so disappointed. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I lied. Not real. I'm glad I made it seem like a real place.
This new book, Argyles and Arsenic, I love the name of the house where the old lady lived. Fairy Flax Hall. It's a great name.
Thank you. I liked it too. And Fairy Flax is such a cool little flower and has this. Yeah, it was just fun to do.
Mm-hmm. I haven't finished the book, so don't tell me who did it.
My husband hasn't finished it.
I haven't finished it yet. I was trying to get it done before we talked, but I just ran out of time. You put a lot of Scottish phrases and words in there that I have to stop and go back and try to figure out what they are. Did you think about putting maybe a glossary in the ending or something?
I should have. I really should. I should do that on my website. But no, it was kind of dumb not to. I hoped that I had explained what they meant in context as people went along, but if you hear it once, that doesn't mean you're going to remember it. And some of them are just, I guess, too odd.
Yeah. Well, it would be great to get the pronunciation on some of them too.
That's true.
Scottish words are really different.
Yeah, they're not as different as the Gaelic words.
No. Or Welsh. Oh my goodness.
Oh, yes, yeah.
How true.
One of my favorites is Drich, description of the weather. There are some, I think, that probably can be understood in contexts like Bampot or Numpty. Call someone a Bampot, that kind of, you get the idea. It's not a happy thing to say.
I was going to say that doesn't sound good.
No. You're not being complimentary.
Yeah.
What I enjoyed, being a knitter, enjoyed reading about some of the knitting patterns that you talk about, the examples, the
stockings. Yeah.
Yes, that was very interesting. I've never knit socks, but
are you a knitter?
I've been taught to knit many times.
Sounds
I can
like
knit.
Me.
One of my grandmothers was a professional knitter and had a knitting shop that closed before I was born, but she taught my older sisters to knit, and my mother was a knitter. So somehow it doesn't quite stick with me, but I do know how to knit, but I mostly knit flat rectangular things.
That sounds like me.
Tracy is actually my daughter.
Nice.
And I tried to teach her to knit, but she was born backwards. She's left-handed, and I'm right-handed, and I could not teach her to save my soul.
My oldest sister is left-handed and knits beautifully. I guess our grandmother taught her, but I don't know. And I don't know if my grandmother was left-handed. But Cammie, my oldest sister, when she knew that I was writing this book and knew about the stockings in the book, set out to knit me a pair of Argyles in the colors that are described in the book for the Inversgale stockings.
Wow.
They are beautiful. They're knee socks and they're just gorgeous and so warm, soft.
Are they traditional blue?
They are blue, green, and a lovely gray with the color that outlines the diamond shape is a lovely gold, ooh, lovely yellow.
But they're beautiful.
They are. They're very nice.
Molly, you alluded to the fact that you were a bookshop owner. So does some of your experiences from when you owned your bookshop in Tennessee spill over into your books?
A little bit, yeah. And I managed the bookstore. I didn't own it, but I did manage it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And also because Janet is a retired librarian, I'm a retired fake librarian. I don't have an MLS degree, but I was in the children's department of the public library here in Champaign for 18 years before I retired. Two good jobs, bookselling and being a librarian, especially in us. So much fun.
Can't get better than that. One of the things I liked about the book, but it was also a little bit of a problem, is the before every chapter, there's a little diary.
Oh, yes.
The only thing is, my old eyes are having trouble with this print.
That font, the italics there, I think it's, or the script, whatever it is, it's, I think that was a mistake to use that.
Yeah.
They thought it looked cool, but italics are hard.
That they need to change that font. It's
too hard. It's hard for me to read.
Like me, it's difficult. Yeah.
It's hard on the eyes. And then that makes it no fun because it's kind of the diary entries are kind of fun. But yeah, sometimes you don't have much say, or sometimes if you're me, you know, you don't like to say too much. You don't like to complain.
Like I say, I haven't finished the book, so I can't get.
And plus, we don't want to give away too much. But Molly, would you give our listeners an elevator pitch of your book, of this, the latest installment?
Okay. Violet McGaskill, who's 93, has decided it's time to downsize her lovely Scottish baronial manor. It's time to let go of things and do it in such a way that her family isn't burdened. She doesn't want to burden them with the things that she's left behind, and she certainly doesn't need as much stuff as she has. So she lets her son and daughter and granddaughter take what they want, and she keeps what she wants, and then she invites her friends in for a night of decanting and decluttering. She pours them sherry and tells them, take what you want. And again, what could possibly go wrong with a plan like that? Lots of people trips through your house and helping themselves to all kinds of treasures. So Janet Marsh, who is at the bookstore, and her friend Christine Robertson are invited to the decanting and decluttering. Actually, Christine is not invited. Her mother and father are. But Christine goes along because her father doesn't want to go along. He doesn't like Violet. He doesn't like her family. He doesn't like the house. But Christine takes her elderly mother, who is a good friend of Violet's, and as one of the other characters says, when Janet and Christine are in the picture and someone mentions ambulance too late, it doesn't end up well for somebody. And that's the case in this book. Someone at that decluttering doesn't make it out alive.
Ooh, I like the premise. I don't know if you've ever heard of Swedish death cleaning.
Yes, that's what I read the book. A friend of mine at the library said, oh, Molly, you have to read this book. And yeah, just perfect. Because it's a great concept, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really
cluttering ahead of time. It's a good plan. You get rid of your stuff. It might take a hazmat suit in some cases. There was a hoarder down the street from us. And when she moved out of her place, people came in with hazmat suits. That's how sad it was.
Where did you get all your facts about arsenic?
That was so much fun. So much. I read books. I read articles on the internet, you know, authoritative articles rather than just, well, and I read other stuff too. The the myths of it. You know, people have lots of ideas about arsenic, but my goodness, it's fascinating stuff. So there are some wonderful books about it.
Think I'd want to be on your bad side.
No kidding, because it's not that hard to find. The stuff they did with it back in the 1800s.
Oh, they put it in wallpaper. Oh, it was on your face for makeup.
Yes.
It was and terrible.
Often they knew that it wasn't good for you, but it didn't matter because there were no laws against it. And then sometimes it was an accident. Like the guy who put he meant to buy plaster of Paris to mix in with the candy. You know, oh, that's a great idea. Let's make our candy go further. Make the sugar go further by putting in plaster of Paris. That sounds tasty. Instead, he accidentally bought arsenic.
They used that with bread too.
Oh yeah, and beer. Did it with beer. Oh,
just horrible.
You know, make today's day and age isn't necessarily the best time to live, but I'm really glad I wasn't around back then.
Yeah. Can you imagine sending your child down to the local store for a penny's worth of arsenic to kill the rats? But then to send a child for the arsenic it was white and they would put it up on the cupboard, up on a shelf, you know, where you keep your white flour and your white sugar, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah. And to clean your furs It was used for everything.
It was sheep dip, all kinds of things.
Molly, what are you working on now?
I'm working on a shorter book it's a continuity series. There are a number of authors writing books in a series where it's all the same characters. It's a series like any other series. It's just that there are different authors writing it. So you have to keep track of what the other people are adding.
That's cool.
It is cool. It's a lot of fun. So it takes place at a cafe called the Whistle Stop Cafe at a historic train depot where World War II troops passed through. And the depot actually exists. The cafe doesn't. But that's fun. So I'm working on that now. Sadly, number 5 in the Highland Bookshop series is the last for now. Yeah, the publisher has decided to focus more on nonfiction. And they do a great job with their nonfiction. They have wonderful nonfiction books. That's where they've decided to focus. So,
well, have you ever thought of self-publishing?
I have, and I might at some point, but for now, I do have contracts I have to fulfill, so I can't do it just yet because I'm a slow writer. I wish I were faster, but 1 year I did do 3 books in a year while working full-time, and that was... It made me pretty crazy. And so
I bet it did.
Not going to do that again.
Now, I noticed on your website that you write short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a reason for asking that. Do you happen to write very short stories? Almost like flash fiction. Yes.
Did one once for a competition. That was fun.
We are always looking for short stories for our newsletter. If you have any that fit that, and it could be something that came out years ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It doesn't have to be new.
Oh, well, I think I do. I've got the very first story that Hitchcock published. I think it's...
Send it our way.
Will. Yeah, send me the address and I will. That was a lot of fun. It was my first... published short story, and it was in Hitchcock, and it was just like, oh, what a thrill.
What a coup.
Now, you wrote for them for quite a while, right?
I had 7 or 8 stories in there, yeah. And then I started getting the book contracts, and I haven't had time to write short stories because they take a lot of time to get a short story right. It takes at least a month for me to write a short story, even though that's short. You know, it's a different animal. It has to be so concise. And I love short stories. I would like to have more time to do them.
Yeah.
I like short stories too, because how more can you spend a great evening, you start something and you get to finish it all in one evening and you know who did it.
I love that.
We always like to ask, what advice could you give to aspiring authors? What would be your one thing that you would recommend?
Well, read as much as you can of the kind of thing you would like to write. But the other thing is, this is something that I learned in high school, in a high school English class. Revision is the key to success. The real writing is in the revising, is in the rewriting.
Oh, really? That's
a very fresh take, because we've asked a lot of authors that question. And I think that's the first time we've gotten the reading, but we've never gotten the revision. I like that.
Very interesting.
It certainly works for me. And I like to edit. I like to revise. So that helps too.
Very good.
Now, are you a plotter or a pantser?
Oh, I am a plotter, although it becomes organic at some point. I do let it wander from the plot, but I do like to have an outline. In fact, I'll go back and I'll revise the outline sometimes, really, because no one sees it. Doesn't matter. It's a way of working through plot points, though, for me, I guess, so that then I can go back and forth between the outline and the manuscript, and it just works that way. So that's nice.
Very good. Well, Molly, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. From what I've read, I'm about 2/3 of the way through this book, and I've really enjoyed it. I'm going to go back and read the others in the series.
Thank you so much.
I'm hoping you find an avenue to continue it.
That would be fun. And the Haunted Yarn Shop, too. I feel better about where these characters at the Highland Bookshop are than I was about the characters at the Haunted Yarn Shop. Most of the characters were fine, but the ghost, I worried about the ghost, because suddenly she's at loose ends.
Okay.
Well, Molly, you've been a delight. You really have. I'm so glad we got to talk to you after you having problems at home with your water.
Water issues, yeah.
Before we finish, can you give our listeners your website so they can find you and your books?
It's www.molly, that's M-O-L-L-Y, McRae, MACRAE.com.
Great.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
I'm glad we didn't miss each other as we passed in the night.
Yeah, on that dark and stormy night.
Yes.
And Molly, you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I hope you get back in your house real soon.
Thank you. We do too.
Okay, have a good evening.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, that wraps up another episode. As we announced in our newsletter, for the time being, we're going to suspend the trivia because of the illness of my husband, and I'm not able to keep it continuing in a format that I would like. So we've decided just to hold off on that until he gets better and I can schedule things a little more routinely. We appreciate your patience and for sticking with us during this troubling time. He is getting better, but it's going to be a process. We thank you for listening. Please listen next week when we have another author I'm sure you'll enjoy. And remember,
life would be boring without a little mystery. Bye.